The Ferguson story has been and is being told in many ways. Among the most effective is the manner in which the arts world has reacted. It's provided a graphic and emotional source for those artists who draw and paint, those who write, and those who compose. Joining me now are St. Louis Public Radio arts reporters Nancy Fowler and Willis Ryder Arnold. They've been paying close attention for a year. Thanks for being with us. Willis, I'm going to start with you.
Hi, Don.
Because you had just arrived in St. Louis when all of this began to happen or happened. What did you think you'd gotten yourself into?
It was an unexpected thing to find yourself launched into. I mean, as you know, I'm an arts and culture reporter, and then I would be doing that during the day, and then at night sometimes I would be out covering protests and what was happening actually up in Ferguson. So that was a surprising thing.
And a brand new experience for you, obviously.
Absolutely. I'd done some work covering Occupy Wall Street when I was back in New York, but here in St. Louis, it was certainly not something I expected to find within my first week of work.
Nancy, I'll turn to you now because, as indicated in the introduction, it did have impact on the arts world. How has Ferguson changed that world?
How has Ferguson changed the art world? It seemed, you know, almost immediately artists began to respond. I remember the first thing I noticed was at the protest at the Justice Center just a few days after, the death of Michael Brown. There was a chalk outline of a body on the ground, and it occurred to me that that was actually art, and that's sort of how it started at a grassroots level and then grew as the different organizations began to formally, you know, address some of these issues.
And almost immediately, art began to appear on the buildings that had been damaged, destroyed, and plywood windows placed there. That's a form of art, obviously.
Yes, it is. In fact, some of those are being kept, and you know, it will be a future art exhibition. That particularly happened along Grand, where artists engulfed the area and really made it beautiful.
Some of it is very good.
Actually, it is. Two hands holding the black and white. One black, one white hand holding has parallels to the arch is a piece that a lot of people recognize.
And Willis, your bent throughout all of this is pretty much along the lines of music. Is that correct?
Yeah, music and some visual art and some of the lines that come from that are actually blurred between artists and activists and the ways that that's developed over the last year.
And is any particular music noteworthy to you?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been local musicians. Tef Poe has produced a lot of music. A group called MME has produced a lot of music. But even things on a national level, like J. Cole, who's a Billboard artist, he's released several number one hits. He has a song called Be Free, which he released.
Can we hear some of that?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe not. Apparently, you're having a little problem with the recording of that, but you say he's had three top 10 hits.
Yeah. And so the actual song itself is some of his lyrics and a very simple score. And he actually brings in testimony or actually what was told by eyewitnesses to media outlets as well. So it's this interesting mix of his voice, audio, and then the music as well.
What about tone, Nancy? The tone to the artwork that you're familiar with, what is it like? Is it angry? Is it compassionate? Is it forgiving? What is the tone of the art?
I think there is an effort to understand, just a quest to understand and make sense of things. It seems like a lot of the art, and especially in the theater world, focuses on the historical tensions between African-American communities and law enforcement and, you know, doesn't take a side, but just explores issues around that.
And there have been some, at least one notable dramatic presentation throughout all of this. Tell us about that.
So Hitana Productions, which has a social justice mission, pounced on this. And Cecilia Nadal commissioned playwright Lee Patton Childs to write Black and Blue, which has been performed, to over 1,000 people and is coming back in October. And that actually involved some of the protesters in the play and rehearsing for the play and trying out for it.
Trying out for it. Did any of them make it?
Yes, several did. One, his name is David Royal. He turned out to not actually be in the play, but he went through the whole process and he is an activist. You know, he was in the streets, Ferguson. He went down to Selma to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the March of the Edmund Pettus Bridge. So he is all about the activism. And when he heard about the play, he was like, you know, I think I'll try this. You know, he and his fiance have 8 kids. He's in school. He's got a busy life. But one of his kids was friends with Michael Brown. And so I have a little tape of him talking about that, how the experience was meaningful, but also kind of relaxing.
Let's listen.
You know, people are asking me, you seem a lot less stressed, even though all this is going on, man, going to the play and just, you know, it seems silly when you're doing a little exercises, fee, fi, fo, and all that, but then you laugh a little bit and you feel more comfortable with it. And you see somebody else that, you know, thought he was some hardcore guy out here too, because y'all always, hey, F the police together, but now you get to see a different side. And then that builds relationships, and then we take that back home. And then next thing you know, fathers giving more hugs to their boys, and, you know, it's about breaking down walls and barriers.
Very, very interesting, his approach and how it impacted him and his family.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He, it really, you know, just sort of gave him a new way. He said he hopes that, you know, people will see what they think is maybe this big, tough guy, you know, former Marine, and say, hey, he was in a play. Maybe I can be in a play. You know, maybe the arts are okay. You know, maybe they're cool.
Is that the only play that has emerged from all of this?
No. Actually, the St. Louis Repertory Company is commissioning a national playwright, Dale Orlander-Smith, to create a play that will run in the Ignite series. And it will revolve around looking at Ferguson through the eyes of a fictional 85-year-old resident who has, you know, seen the city change, grow, and then explode into national attention.
Well, it's with regard to those things that you've covered during the past year. Do you find any way to connect the dots between the various media, if you will, of talking about visual arts and music?
Well, there's actually a fair amount of overlap between a lot of artists. Very many artists in St. Louis happen to produce visual art or produce music and are also involved in activism as well. So there's actually people that act as those bridges. But a lot of the artwork deals with themes that we recognize as from some of the reporting that's been done on it. We see a lot of artwork that deals with the idea of hands up, don't shoot. We see a lot of artwork that kind of touches on other deaths that have happened in the past year, that are related to like the deaths of Eric Garner. We see that it's actually become kind of a lifestyle for some artists, that the boundaries between artist and activist have actually blurred, and that many people keep arts stuff ready and at hand so that when there's something that demands attention from the arts community, they're ready to produce it.
We can go back now to that music you wanted to play a couple of minutes ago. We have it ready now. Reestablish that for us, if you would.
Okay, so this is a track from J. Cole. He's been frequently on the Billboard Top 200, and he actually released a track called Be Free, which was dedicated to Michael Brown and his family.
Oh, I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. Oh no. Say, all we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is break the chains off. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be free.
So now it's like the officer's pulling him inside the car. He's trying to pull away. And at no time, the officer said that he was going to do anything until he pulled out his weapon. His weapon was drawn, and he said, I'll shoot you, or I'm going to shoot. And in the same moment, the first shot went off. And we looked at him.
That is J. Cole. Willis, it sounds like that was recorded on the street.
Yeah, it absolutely took some of the eyewitness reports that were given to media and interwove that with the music and J. Cole's voice.
Terrific use of both media there.
We've actually seen that a lot in the arts. That's another thing that's unified both music and visual production, is that people are taking media reports or images from the media and kind of remixing those. They're incorporating photos into paintings or collages, and they're also in music using a lot of samples.
So innovation is a byproduct of all of this.
I would say.
Nancy, same with your end of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, talking about the hands up, don't shoot, which were, you know, said to be Michael Brown's last words. So, you know, that was the name of a art exhibition curated by Frieda Wheaton.
Yeah.
As you know.
We want to talk about Frieda and hear from her in just a moment. I have to take a break. We're talking with Willis Ryder Arnold and with Nancy Fowler, our arts reporters here at St. Louis Public Radio, and we're talking about the impact of Ferguson on the arts world here. We'll be back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with Willis Ryder Arnold and Nancy Fowler, our arts reporters here at St. Louis Public Radio. We're talking about the impact the Ferguson story has had on the arts over the last year. Nancy, let me come back to you with regard to what you were saying before the break, with regard to Frieda's involvement in all of this. You have a really nice clip from her.
I do. Frieda Wheaton, who founded the Alliance of Black Art Galleries and curated the Hands Up, Don't Shoot art exhibition. I ask her, like, why does this matter? What does this mean? And she talks about it in this clip.
The Hands Up, Don't Shoot, Artists Respond art, like any art, evokes feelings from individuals, from the viewer, once they see an image in front of them that is like no other emotion, I believe. When it comes to visual art, it creates a memory in the mind that one carries with him or her for quite a long time. Some of the images certainly are more striking. Some are more aggressive. Some of the images are very subtle, but I think they all provide the viewer a sense of, so this is what it was like.
The issue of subtlety, a lot of what I've seen isn't all that subtle. What do you think, Willis?
I think that one of the things that's become a little bit, that functions in a little bit more of a subtle way, is that a lot of the art actually seems to work to upset people's expectations of the art that's going to be produced. We see things where people are occasionally putting on art shows, like one that was put on at the Kranzberg that was photography from like the daytime protests, which went against a lot of the assumptions the public made about like the level of violence and the level of kind of conflict that happened regarding these protests. So in that way, there's a little bit more of a subtle approach.
Nancy, your thoughts on the subtlety issue?
Yes. I mean, it just depends on the artist. I mean, there is subtlety. There was a piece made by an artist named Eugenia Alexander in the Hands Up, Don't Shoot, and it was the word justice kind of obscured. It was on a red background and kind of obscured by these etchings. So it was, you know, you could see it as many different things. You're kind of looking at the word justice, but you can't quite see it.
You know, it's interesting that the hands up, don't shoot phrase is one that is going to stay with us probably forever, even though it probably and apparently never happened during the incident itself. What about other aspects of the arts world? I'm thinking of the dance. I'm thinking of poetry. How much movement in these areas?
The dance community pretty quickly got together. More than a dozen companies gathered at Sarah Burke's City Studio and talked about, like, what does it mean to dance out Ferguson? How do you do that? And they did a little bit of choreography, and you know you could hear and see the idea of gunshots and terror. And so that actually has come to fruition and will be produced and performed in October.
Poetry.
So St. Louis has its first poet laureate, Michael Castro. He came to the Post in January and is very much focused on the issues around Ferguson. And he's I ask him, you know, these poets are all getting together from diverse areas, who maybe were working in silos before. And I ask him, you know, what does it mean? Why does it matter that these poets are, you know, producing this Ferguson work?
Willis, are most of the people that we've been talking about, and you in particular, are they homegrown? Has there been much outside influence here as a result of Ferguson?
I would say that there's a pretty solid cross-section. On a national level, we've seen actors from major TV shows. Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy, The Orange is the New Black cast participated in the Millions March in New York City, which happened after the death of Michael Brown and Eric Garner and was supposed to address police brutality. But on like a St. Louis level, we've definitely seen a huge outpouring of local community members. Again, in the music, Brian Owens, Tef Poe, visual art by Kababi Bayok, and many others.
Anything to add to that, Nancy, in 15 seconds?
No, I just think it's going to be a focus for a long time, and we're going to be grappling with what it means through art for a long time.
Well, let's tell us about your event tonight. We need to know about that.
So tonight in the Public Media Commons, there will be a showing of multiple films that were produced about Ferguson over the past year, some that are in process and some that are complete. And I will be holding a short panel discussion about one film in particular.
What time is that all get started?
That all gets started at 5 and runs till 11.
That's something to look forward to. We have more information about that on our website. And while you're there, take a look at our timeline posted on the website just today of the Ferguson timeline. Very important. Willis, thank you so much for being with us. Nancy, thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure
Dad.
To talk to both of you. And now we'll move to commentator Nancy Kranzberg while we're talking about the arts. She shares these thoughts about the variety of venues at which to enjoy the visual arts right here in St. Louis.